The grease fire could spread, this time to Spain.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Tens of thousands of Greek workers are off the job today and striking in the streets, mad about more big pension and benefit cuts being proposed to get more European help. Greek troubles, of course, are rippling through the global economy, and we continue our look at how things could go from bad to worse in other countries because of the Greek problems. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford now with more from Madrid.
For a long time, investors have lumped Spain alongside Greece as one of the weaker European economies to watch out for. For one thing, its unemployment rate is over 20%. The government spent the past year trying to prove it's not on the brink, passing deeply unpopular wage and budget cuts. Last month, tens of thousands of young Spaniards camped out on the streets in protest. Spain's prime minister has promised the cuts are over. But if Greece does default, that could be a hard promise to keep. Ismael Sanz is professor of economics at Madrid's Rey Juan Carlos University. He says, unlike Greece, Spain could be too big for Europe to bail out.
This would mean a big impact on the European economy. The European Union will try to do everything they can to avoid having to give Spain a bailout.
But Professor Sanz says if Greece does survive this crisis, Spain would get some breathing space, time to get its own economy back on track, time too to start creating more jobs for young Spaniards. In Madrid, I'm the BBC's Sarah Rainsford for Marketplace.
Well, while striking public workers continue their protests in the streets, at Greek seaports, more than 350 pro-Palestinian activists are sending a flotilla of boats to Gaza in defiance of Israel's trade blockade of that territory. And Palestinians also hope a new Egyptian government will allow goods to pass through its border crossing with Gaza. Reese Ehrlich has more from Gaza City.
The fields near Ahmad Shafi's farm are sometimes used by Palestinian militants firing homemade rockets into Israel. As long as such attacks keep up, Israel says it will go on restricting imports and exports into Gaza. Shafi had hoped the recent opening of the border crossing into Egypt here at the Rafah Gate would soften the effects of the Israeli blockade. He was disappointed.
Economically, it doesn't mean much because only people, not commercial goods, can cross. Then again, opening Rafah Gate is a big help for Palestinians because it's an opening to the outside world.
But not everyone benefits from that opening. Abu Omar lowers a rope into a 50-foot-deep tunnel entrance. He operates a tunnel that used to bring smuggled consumer goods from Egypt to Gaza.
We're only smuggling about 1 to 2 shipments a month. We used to transport every day. Now people bring their own goods across the Rafah Gate.
Many things are still scarce in Gaza, such as construction supplies, medical equipment, and drugs. Economy Minister Ala al-Rafati says restrictions make exporting tough, and they can't get raw materials for factories. Unemployment stands at 45%. Israel's blockade, he argues, hurts ordinary Gazans more than the Hamas government, which Israel labels a terrorist organization.
Because we can't export, unemployment increases along with the poverty rate. That makes people suffer.
Israeli officials argue that opening the Egyptian border to normal trade would encourage arms smuggling. So far, they've managed to pressure Egypt's government to prohibit such commerce. It seems likely that trade will be banned at least until a new Egyptian government takes power after elections in September. In Gaza City, I'm Reese Ehrlich for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly higher at the moment. The one exception is Germany, where the DAX index is off a bit. The International Monetary Fund could vote as soon as today to tap French Finance Minister Christine Lagarde as the new IMF chief. Wall Street yesterday, stocks waged a bit of a comeback. The Dow surged 108 points to end the day at 12,043.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
Today, Microsoft's CEO Steve Ballmer will unveil the software giant's new Office 365 service. It's all those things Microsoft Office is known for: word processing, email, PowerPoint, and the like. But it takes a big swipe at Google and its foray into cloud computing. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
Microsoft wants us to ditch our desktops and hard drives and do more computing online. And with a billion computers already running Microsoft Office, the message to computing rival Google is like that Stone song. Microsoft's pitch to business customers: get on our cloud instead. For $6 a month per user, you can lose the headache of running servers, access your data and applications whenever you want. Jim Yin covers Microsoft at Standard & Poor's.
People have become more mobile. They don't necessarily have to be tied down to a single desktop, either at work or at home.
Google jumped on the cloud first, but that's never stopped Microsoft, says business consultant Gene Marks. Remember WordPerfect, Lotus, Netscape?
They let other people come up with the ideas. They wait until it attracts a market, and then they pounce.
But if they pounce too hard, they could crush their cash cow, sales of regular old Windows and Microsoft Office. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, conventional wisdom tells us when the economy's in the dumps, people steal more stuff. So the National Retail Federation's new report showing shoplifting on the rise could be construed as bad news. But don't fret. As retail thinking goes, because a lot of those shoplifters are store employees, there must be a recovery going on. Here's the rationale. Employers are taking more chances to steal things because they don't fear for their jobs as much. They can find something else if need be. And those thieving employees feel like, the company can afford it. All hail the recovery. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org, where you can find the podcast there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Have a hard time letting go of your dream to play in the majors? Well, this might make it easier.
The person who plays baseball is making about 40% less on average than the person who decides not to play baseball and who just wanted a regular career.
I'm Tess Vigeland, the Freakonomics Upside of Quitting, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.